This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're about to launch into a Mad Wednesday Joy podcast.
Welcome back to Mad Wednesday on Joy 94.9, and I am joined in the studio by an absolutely fabulous international guest.
Aww.
Oh, I am. It's true.
Stop it. No. You're making me blush.
Oh, well, you know, it's how it rolls. It's Cake Daddy himself, Ross Anderson Doherty, joining us here on Mad Wednesdays. Hello, hello, how you
hello.
Doing?
Hello, how are you? It is so good to be here.
Oh, I'm very, very good. Now, you, running around, you have been doing, so your Midsummer show was done. Cake Daddy, you came, you've come here, you did it for Midsummer. Now, you've been on a whole heap of shows all over here on Joy.
I have, it's been wonderful.
We've been loving you so much. And I'm like, well, I thought I would wait and we would dip our toes into Mardi Gras as opposed to Midsummer. You know, because we're Australia's LGBTQ radio station, because we don't need to focus just on Melbourne. Mm. So how was your Midsummer season of Cake Daddy?
Oh, it was wonderful. It was so fabulous. The audiences were so generous and warm and lovely and excited and willing to share their stories with me afterwards and talk to me. And it was truly marvellous and remarkable,
now,
I have to say.
For listeners that don't know, why wouldn't you? How wouldn't you know? If you follow me on social media at all, then you know absolutely. Cake Daddy is a show, that it's a wonderful cabaret that has cake, there's that as well,
there's cake.
Has you, but also basically points the finger and points out. It's a show about fat phobia.
Yeah, it's a show basically about, so it kind of mixes stand-up comedy and cabaret and theatre and music and all of those things that I do. And it sort of tells a story about how I stopped dieting and stopped hating my body.
Yeah.
Or started working towards hating my body.
You wait, working towards
not hating my body is what I meant to say. Jesus, I'm tired.
Yeah.
So, because, yeah, I'm not saying that I don't hate my body anymore, because that's ridiculous. It changes by the minute. But I realized I could not be happy and healthy in the world if I were continually dieting, and that diet culture is all pervasive and insidious and everywhere in the world, that to the point where now everyone thinks it's common knowledge and that it's just basic good science that if you're thin, you're healthy.
And isn't
if you're
fat, you're unhealthy. Isn't it funny that the standard that we live in now in the world has changed to such a massive degree where, and if you look at this sliding scale where what everyone presumes is looking good or looking healthy is actually this completely weird body dysmorphic thing.
Oh, incredibly so. The thinnest I have been in my life has consistently been the least healthy I have been in my life. Consistently. Mm. Health is more than your blood pressure, for example, or your peak flow. It's your social life, it's your mental health, but it's your physical health as well. But I'm talking about physically healthy. Like, I was very physically unhealthy because what I need to put my body through in order to maintain even something that approaches a normative body is excruciating.
Yeah.
Like, it's literally exercising 9 times a week intensively on, you know, 1,200 calories a day. And that's what I have to do to my body in order to not be fat.
Yeah.
And I refused to stop doing that because I was very depressed and very ill as a result of all of that. So the show kind of charts that, which makes it sound very...
We've dived straight into extreme. It makes it sound, but it is.
I mean, it's my life. It literally is my life. Yeah. But the first half of the show is taking the absolute mick out of diet culture and how ridiculous it is, and wellness culture as we have now.
Oh my God! So this sounds like social media influencing to me. Suddenly, you know, wellness culture.
It's wellness.
Oh, what is that?
It's not a diet. It's wellness. It's not a diet, it's a wellness program.
So, through all of this, a show was created.
Yeah, it was. That mixes cabaret and theatre and comedy and stickers and certificates.
Oh, lovely.
There are stickers to be won.
Oh, really?
In the show.
Oh, so there's a bit of audience participation?
There's a little bit of audience participation. Nothing high focus, nothing where anyone's trailed up and made to do things, you know what I mean? It's not like that sort of vibe. But
yeah, well, you don't want to take the attention away from yourself.
Oh my God, no, it's about me.
Of course not.
Totally. But people may speak when spoken to, and that's fine.
Oh, there you
go. If they wish, but I'll not speak to them if they don't want to be spoken to, that's okay as well. But yeah, there are little games to play, and because it's cabaret seating, obviously, little games to play in their tables and stuff to do. Yeah, it's It's kind of interactive in a fun way. It's about conversation.
And now you've had a whole lot of fun bringing the show to Melbourne, and now it's in Sydney, which is a little awesome and exciting.
It's really awesome and exciting.
Is it great to be able to come from another country and be a part of two major queer festivals in two states?
I mean, without meaning to sound saccharine and disgusting, it's sort of like living the dream.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
Like to be part of two of the biggest queer arts and culture festivals in the world is extraordinary.
It's kind of awesome.
It really is.
Well, we forget that in Australia. Do you know, that's what's funny. It's the way, because you just described that and I was looking at the look on your face and just like, yeah.
You know what it is?
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Like, I forget that we are so lucky that we have, you know, with Mardi Gras, with Midsummer, with Mardi Gras especially, it's everyone thinks it's always just about the parade. Everyone focuses so much on this massive parade that happens. Are you going to be here for the parade, by the way?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
You are going to be here. Mm-hmm. Okay, awesome. Fabulous. Mm-hmm. Are you going to be in it?
I mean, I'll be there. I don't know whether I'm going to be in it or
not. I could
hold your wig or something.
I was just about to say, there's a call out there for anyone listening with the parade coming up. You know what I mean? We're a couple of weeks away. And quite frankly, Cake Jody's looking for someone to not necessarily march with, but sit on a float.
I can sit on a float.
It's a long walk, I've got to admit. I've done the march. And I made the mistake of doing the march one year in with the leather group. And I was in chaps. I was in my chaps. I was in my jockstrap. It was a bit of a rainy start to the day, so wearing leather. I was like, what were we going to do? But I was really proud, really excited, had my bum out, rock and roll.
Sounds delightful.
Did not factor in how long that walk is in chaps. It did not quite go the way that one would hope.
I mean, I would have loved that, except for the chub rub. I couldn't have coped with the chub rub.
The chub rub was
the
problem.
Oh my God. It's a real thing.
It absolutely is. And
in every body type. Straight size people, fat people, people in the middle.
It doesn't matter what.
Chub rub's a real thing.
Everyone chafes. Yeah. Everybody chafes.
Oh, God. Particularly in chaps. Although I can't get that image out of my head. Now I'm going to have to.
I'll send you some pictures.
Thank you.
But this year, I'm very excited for the fact that I'm going to actually be on a float. Joy are partnering with Salesforce.
That's so exciting. Your plans sound amazing, too.
But what's confusing me is I'm like, now I've just got to make sure I'm in comfortable shoes. But anyway, enough about that. So it is actually wonderful to come and be a part of these major queer arts and culture
festivals. It's a dream. Like, just so huge. We have a theatre, a queer arts festival in Belfast called Outburst Festival, which co-produced the first iteration of Cake Daddy. And we've been going for 12 years and I've been there since the kind of inception of it in Belfast. And I've done something and worked on it every year. And, you know, I'm now that age where I'm kind of bringing the younger queerlings forward with that festival. And it's wonderful. And we have lots of connections to South America and in Europe and all over the place, which is wonderful. But coming to such huge, major queer festivals is mind-blowing. But also wonderful because they're the spaces that kind of need a show like Cake Daddy.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, and I was about to say, a show like Cake Daddy, something that's looking at fat phobia, something that's standing proudly, and by the way, the show has nudity as well, everyone, proudly and nakedly in every, it was showing every crevice and corner of who you are. That's not the kind of queer culture that we have been able to experience. So that's really exciting.
It was kind of scary because, I mean, Sydney in particular is one of the most body conscious cities in the world. You know, Sydney and LA.
I think you're... I know, but I also think that you'll be very surprised. The bear culture is quite strong.
I mean, of that I have no doubt. I've had some messages from some of the bears in Sydney. Not necessarily about the show, but certainly.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, it's going to be fun. different kind of chub rub. Mm-hmm. But, of that I have no doubt. But also the kind of images that we're kind of presented with outside of Australia with of Mardi Gras are a very straight-sized people.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, looking traditionally beautiful.
You look at the parade and it's just everyone's in speedos, there's not an inch of fat on them. We do have that joke constantly going through where, you know, about September, October, everyone starts their diets for Mardi Gras.
Yes. Which is very not Cake Daddy at all. He would not approve of that sort of carry on at all. But I have to say, Mardi Gras this year have been looking at the body in their arts and culture programming.
Well, the program, I mean, the theme is fearless.
Yes. And they've been very keen to promote things that are to do with bodies and to do with that sort of thing. And we had very frank and open discussions with him about how to promote the show and the images that they were using to promote the show.
Yeah.
It's basically my kind of fat chest. It's not my belly or anything like that yet. But they're happy to kind of use that in their social media and things so that it's not just, you know,
It's not just
the pretty fat gay
ribbed abs or whatever. That must be hard. Do you end up falling into that
very, very easily and very quickly? Because I am. I'm funny and I'm fat, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But the show isn't just that, and it's not.
It's just not razzle dazzle.
Yes, we're not undermining the fatness by saying that it has to be funny in how we are presenting the show. And Mardi Gras have been very good at listening to that, and they've been keen to kind of hear our thoughts and worries and challenges and criticisms even of those aspects of queer culture.
I feel like they would be things as well, like they would hear that all the time. Do you know what I mean? It's the blessing and the curse of our queer culture where, you know, we do exist in a world where what we see is this really insane image of the male body. It's ribbed, it's blonde, especially here in Australia.
It is.
There's not an inch of fat sitting on it, and even though we all know that's not perfection,
mm-hmm.
even though we all know that trying to attain that is insane,
mm-hmm.
that's what's constantly seen, especially, you know, within. So it's great that you're having these conversations with the festivals, and it's great that it's a part of it, and with the theme of Fearless, it's really wonderful to have you here and being a part of it.
Thank you. I don't feel fearless, but I mean, I suppose.
You don't feel fearless, really?
I don't. I mean, I feel fearless when I'm on stage.
Yeah.
Certainly. Perhaps not for the first few shows in Melbourne. There was a little bit of fear.
Oh, really? There was a bit of
I'm not a nervous person, but it was just, there was tension, certainly, before I went on. Yeah. It meant so much, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it's a show that's very important, and there's my story in there too, from, you know, there are little snippets of my childhood or whatever else and those things in there, so it means a lot.
Exposing yourself that way is very different for a performer, isn't it?
Yes, and it's a whole show about that.
Yeah,
and I'm the only one telling it, and there's no one else there. Just me and some cake.
You can't hide behind anything.
It's no,
I've seen the pictures with the frill. You've got the fabulous frill, the fabulous fabric. But
yeah, I mean, there's lots of fabulous things going on. But yeah, there isn't much armor. It's a very frank, honest show, as well as being snarky and bitchy and funny. Yeah. It's very frank and honest. And so that I was pretty nervous.
Yeah.
By the end of it, I was like, I got this. We got this, because the audiences are very much part of the show, and it was so lovely.
Yeah.
Melbourne audiences are wonderful, I have to say.
Well, it must have been wonderful as well to be able to work with your team, to be able to create this show and to be able to bring this together, to create this kind of a space and an environment, to be able to be there standing, fat flying, on the stage, and do it in a way that takes the audience on that journey but brings the message home as well.
I think, yeah, the team have been excellent, and they have been very good at letting me take the lead on that, because they're all straight-sized.
Yeah.
And so anytime I just put my hand up and went, nope, not my experience, they would be like, okay, cool, let's talk through that, you know.
Yeah. Well, how else are you going to learn?
Exactly. And they've been very good at that. And they've made some mistakes. I've made some mistakes. We've made some mistakes in communicating, because we're trying to create. We're working across lots of different forms, theatre and cabaret and comedy and music and all of those things come together. So it is quite untraditional, but actually everyone who's seen it has been like, oh yeah, you don't even notice that. It's just, you know, it's fun, and you go with it, and then, it's changed now. Oh, he's doing something else now. Oh, this is good. But something I'm very proud of, and that we worked very hard on together, and we were very cognizant of making, was a space where fat people, or anyone who's kind of, you know, anomalously embodied, could feel safe in this space.
Yeah.
Where we very much take the piss out of diet culture and the kind of cult of thinness, without taking the piss out of fat people who are still in that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or anybody who, you know, anybody with a disabled body or anything like that.
Yeah.
And that's been the best feedback that we've got, is that people are like, yeah, some of it's quite confronting and challenging, but we still felt safe. We felt heard. We felt safe.
It must be so wonderful to get that feedback.
Oh, my God. I was talking about this earlier with the director, and I hate it when artists and actors particularly use the word humble. I was so humbled. I'm so humbled by this Oscar. You're not humbled by that Oscar. Shut up. But actually, I feel when people tell me those stories and give me that feedback, actually, it, you know, when you're just post a show and you're still full of adrenaline,
yeah,
and you're like, I got all the right notes and I sang all the things and I'm, do you know what I mean? I'm brilliant. Yeah. Woohoo! Because you have to be in that place to perform.
Of course,
otherwise it would be a weird experience. But But in that moment, when people are telling me that, I'm like, oh, bang, straight back down to the ground. Good. Yeah. Yep.
But you know, genuinely what humbling. As well, it's because you've just done a show where, as much as you're going, yeah, I've hit the notes, I've done this, it's great. You've done a show where you're revealing you and you're sharing that. And in this conversation, that person's doing that with you, because not everyone has that platform. Yeah. Not everyone has that within them. And they use whatever they have to be able to share it. And their way of doing that is to be able to talk to you. So it must be heaven.
It is. It really is heaven. And some people just want, like, sometimes after a show, there's a line of people who want to kind of talk to me. Some of them just want to tell me about their favorite cake and where they had it, because that's something that they don't get to talk about in front of their friends, because they don't, because their friends are all on diets and they don't, you know what I mean?
Get you. Yeah, that's spot on.
And sometimes it's people wanting to tell me about some awful interaction they've had where their body has been medicalized without even their consent. And correctly.
That happens all the time.
So much.
It blows my mind when someone talks about how much that happens.
So much so. I mean, I'm a singer, and if I get a sore throat, obviously that's quite a challenge, because we can't work when we can't sing or talk.
Yeah.
So I, you know, go to the doctor. The amount of times where it has been, just pop up on the scales for me there. Like, are you weighing my throat? How much does my larynx weigh? Do you want to, it's excruciating sometimes.
I actually had a health check earlier this year. Not to make it about me, but I had a health check earlier this year. And after all of the results were done, this because my whole family were all doing it for some stuff later in the year. And after the results that were done, the doctor, when I came back for them, was I still was so angry by it, was literally like, I'm just shocked you don't have diabetes. I'm shocked that you're I'm shocked that, and every part of it, like, I just assumed that when we're looking at the body to muscle to fat ratio, like, I'm just surprised. I just thought, and I had to go, I just need you to stop.
Yeah.
And I was like, I need you to stop, because
I thought you'd be dead by now, really.
It was essentially what he was saying. And it got afterwards, I kind of went, the nurse was like, let's go. I was saying it to them. She goes, I'm going to go on break. And she's going, let's have a fag. And I'm in complete awe. And she was like, you need to actually make it, come back in and say something or make a complaint.
Mm-hmm.
You need to, and I was just like, because I can't believe this whole presumption of one look at me, you're a medical professional, and one look at me means you're focusing on all these other things and not the stuff I was here for. Mm-hmm. Even each other at the running, like, you actually did better than your sister. My sister actually runs, but this was one of those running things where it's chesting your heart, so it's going up the up the scale.
Incline,
and I guess, you know, and I was just like, I just did well. I don't know. I've got no reason. I've got no idea. But yeah, it does blow your mind when you end up with this, doesn't it?
It really does. And when people on the internet, perhaps, would want to pretend that they're concerned about your health, but actually what they're doing is just spewing hatred towards you. That happens a lot.
Yeah.
But even just when friends are like, oh, I'm concerned about your health. Really, Brenda? Really? Those three bottles of White Zinfandel you drank on Saturday night, but you're worried about my health?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that
funny,
gram of cocaine that went up your nose
over
the weekend, but you're concerned about my health. That drives me to complete distraction. And I've actually stopped talking about my health with people by kind of, I've stopped using my health to kind of validate my body in the world, because I don't owe you my health.
Yeah.
My health is none of your business. We don't owe each other health in order to have our humanity validated.
Yeah.
And there are a great many fat people, super fat people, infinity fat people. These are all words that I've learned in the last year of doing my research. It's wonderful. But, you know, there are people of different body sizes and shapes who live with chronic illness and who are ill. Mm. And when I start to use my health as a playing card to go, but I'm okay, I'm allowed, I'm healthy, I'm throwing those people under the bus.
Yeah.
So I've just kind of stopped talking to people about my health because it's none of their damn business.
Exactly. Well, you know what? I want to thank you for coming and joining us today. You are performing right now.
Yes!
Right now you are performing at the Seymour Centre.
Yes!
Which is a fab... I think it's like the hub.
It's Mardi Gras Festival Hub, yeah.
So, and now you've been in Melbourne, you've started your Mardi Gras, and you're performing right now at the Seymour Centre in Sydney. Get along to go and see Cake Daddy. I thank you so much for coming and joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Chatting. And you know what, guys, I know plenty of you have actually went and saw Cake Daddy when it was here for Midsummer. If you've seen it for Mardi Gras or if you've seen it for Midsummer, why don't you hit us up on 0427JOY949 or honorifjoy.org.au. Tell us why you loved going to see Cake Daddy. Tell us what was it that you loved about the show. Hit us up. We can keep sharing these stories here on Mad Wednesday today, here on Joy. Thank you so much for coming and joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a joy.
Appreciate it. You're on Mad Wednesdays with Robbie and Dean.
You've been listening to a Mad Wednesday Joy podcast, driving you home and keeping you sane for your hump day, live every Wednesday from 4 on Joy 94.9. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.